When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that must be at the disco because it is panicking
every day,
every damn day,
every day. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
We're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today
we're going to talk about makeup.
Yep, that's right. We're going to talk about makeup. My friend Felix is here. He's going to talk to us about makeup stuff.
Yeah. And we're going to, for Patreon, do our makeup.
That's right. Because Kyle is abusing me and I need to cover this bruise up.
Oh, no. I treat you very nicely.
That's true.
Very fair.
That's true. Except really, really drunk Kyle sometimes shoves me into things.
Well,
he thinks he's being adorable.
It's funny.
But first. Feedback and corrections?
Yeah, I wanted to read some feedback.
Great.
So we got an email called, "There's a new lesbian bar."
Oh,
1,000 exclamations.
In all caps?
No.
Oh, well, your voice was giving all caps.
I was trying to do the exclamation. There were four exclamation marks.
Got it.
So, yeah. Hey, Mike and Kyle, y'all have mentioned before that lesbian bars are becoming a thing of the past and that so many are closing. But a new one just opened right beside my workplace. It is called Broad's Lounge here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It is owned and operated by a lesbian couple, built as a woman-forward establishment, and it is decorated to honor the prominent women in history. They just opened last week, and I wanted to get the word out, so maybe this one can thrive and survive. Love you guys. Austin Sturgill, a gay. TM.
Yeah. This is great news.
Yeah, that's really exciting to have a lesbian bar opening, especially, you know, like Austin and you have mentioned. So many are closing down, or there's so few in the country. So yep, that's really exciting that there's a new one.
Yep. 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 Is that his name, though?
What? How is it pronounced?
What were you saying?
August.
August?
What did I say?
Austin.
Sorry. August.
Great.
August. Sorry, August.
But I do feel like it's like, nature is healing.
Yeah.
Like during the pandemic, remember when all of the lesbians went back to the rivers and oceans?
Yeah. Or whatever?
But it really is a crisis. The Lesbian Bar Project is something that's a passion of mine because they are chronicling the decline of lesbian bars in this country and worldwide, it's my understanding, but especially in North America. And the fact that there would be a new lesbian bar opening is magical and wonderful, and I hope to go there someday.
Yeah, thanks for the tip, Austin/August.
Great. Well, and now the news.
Shut your mouth hole, it's time for your ear holes. News, news, news.
Kyle.
What? What's going on, Mike?
Well, so first we have an update. This is an ongoing story, but I wanted to give you a before we jump into this week's news, an update on a thing that we've been following. Next Benedict, who is the non-binary student from Tulsa County, Oklahoma, and a trans high school student who died February 8th after a fight with three other students in a restroom. And the district attorney of Tulsa County, Oklahoma, has announced that they are not going to bring any charges.
Hmm.
Not surprising, but that doesn't make it not enraging and disappointing and sad. D.A. Stephen Kunzweiler said, quote, "From all of the evidence gathered, this fight was an instance of mutual combat."
Hmm.
So I guess that justifies a death. I don't know.
That makes it sound like both were at fault when I can't imagine that being the case.
Yeah, well, it's also, it's not like the charge was going to be murder anyway, right? So the chief medical examiner in Oklahoma announced last week that it had determined that Benedict died through a combination of two common drugs, the antihistamine diphenhydramine and the antidepressant fluoxetine. That's Benadryl and Prozac. There was a deadly combination of those two things, which that... they that clearly was not because of the fight. That was the aftermath of the fight. And right. we know how awful life can be for trans teens in this country. So it was never going to be murder, even if you want to say that they directly caused this death. Like, it, legally speaking, is not the case.
Right.
But it would certainly be at least assault, right? Like, anyway, I don't know.
Some kind of, I mean, anything kind of is like just anything to make people, hold people responsible for their actions.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And to imply that it was, or to say that it was mutual is, feels very much like blaming the victim.
Yep. Also, next, I see he, him pronouns attached to him all the time. And I'm always wary of that just because, like, the news fucks things up. There are jurisdictions like Oklahoma that I would expect would fuck things up on purpose.
Yeah.
And I don't want to accidentally, like, quote or read the wrong thing. The Advocate is probably a good, like, they're probably doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a sophomore at Owosso High School and had reported frequent bullying by fellow students. And there was this altercation in this restroom, and then he ended up in the hospital, was released, and then died the next day. Anyway, no charges will be filed. People are upset about that, understandably.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, news the first?
Yeah.
All right. I have not yet posted on Facebook an official place for us to keep track of the Dickbag Fuckface Asshole Award of 2024.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah, but we definitely need to start that. I'm sure that I've mentioned it's March. This can't be the first one.
No.
For sure, Caitlyn Jenner's going on it.
Oh, wow. She's, I would think, multiple years.
Yeah.
if we'd been doing this multiple years, she would have been a contender many years.
Right, right. But this year, she's really giving it, Kyle.
Okay.
Caitlyn Jenner, Olympic gold medalist, reality television personality, and a prominent, though controversial, trans figure, expressed her support for a New York ordinance that restricts female sports teams with trans athletes from accessing county-owned facilities. So this is in Nassau County, and Caitlin said that, quote, allowing trans athletes like myself to compete against other cis women could detrimentally impact women's sports.
Hmm.
I don't understand. I just don't. I don't understand. Quote, let's stop it now while we can. she has spouted a bunch of nonsense about how she views herself as being different than cis women, not in a gender expression kind of way, but she thinks that her biology means that she should be excluded from athletics. Hmm. And so I just think it's interesting that a trans voice would be on board with the no trans women in sports.
Yeah. And she's also such a different, her experience is such a different case than the ones that are happening nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. She's 74 years old.
Yeah.
That doesn't justify anything, but like, that's not where we're at, Caitlin.
Yeah, exactly.
I hereby nominate her officially for Dickbag Fuckface Asshole of the Year.
Yay.
2024.
We need like a little audio, like studio clapping. Yeah. or something to welcome them into the nomination list.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, quote, all I'm trying to do is protect women, Jenner said. Like, girl.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Okay. Yeah. News the second?
Yeah.
Gay Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar is resigning.
Oh, no.
That is a surprise. He announced his resignation last week on Wednesday. Varadkar said he was leaving, quote, for personal and political, but mainly political reasons. he said he would stay as Prime Minister until a successor can be elected after Parliament returns from recess next month. After 7 years in office, he said, quote, I don't feel I'm the best person for that job anymore. And a new Taoiseach, the Irish name for prime minister, will be better placed to secure re-election.
What was that name?
Taoiseach, which is hard. I'm probably saying it wrong. I think it's Taoiseach. Anyway, and plus, like, with my teeth in, it's even harder to say. Sibilance.
Sounds like a mixture of a teabagging and a blowjob, a tea suck.
Yeah, exactly. Good job, Ireland. he took power in 2017 after being elected leader of the Fine Gael Party. He is the country's youngest prime minister and Ireland's first gay leader.
Yeah, he already he doesn't have to keep doing it. He already locked in that first gay prime minister thing.
His legacy has been secured.
Done.
No matter what.
Dunskies, yeah.
Jesus. And then news the last.
Okay.
Well, okay. First, happy birthday, Mom.
Oh.
It is Ma Johnson's birthday today, of the day of this recording.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah.
So if you're hearing this, you missed it.
Right, right. When I call you later today, you'll get to think about the future. Where's the time cave, Kyle? We haven't done the time cave in a while. Anyway, it's Mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Ma Johnson.
Schools in Washington State will be required to teach students about LGBTQ+ history.
Ooh, cool.
It's a new law that was signed by Governor Jay Inslee earlier this week. Senate Bill 5462, which passed both state chambers earlier this year without any support from Republicans. Not a fucking shock at all. Yeah. Everybody, Republicans hate us.
Yeah.
If you are listening to this and you vote Republican, what is wrong with you? Okay. Anyway.
Even the coffee pot got mad at that.
Oh. At least it's off now.
Now it's off.
Yeah. The bill mandates that school districts in Washington, quote, adopt inclusive curricula and select diverse, equitable, inclusive, age-appropriate instructional materials that include the histories, contributions, and perspectives of historically marginalized and underrepresented groups. And that includes LGBTQ+ people with disabilities, people from various racial and ethnic groups, and people from diverse socioeconomic backgrounds.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they have to, it kicks off a whole bunch of stuff. Like, it doesn't happen immediately. They have to have the instructional materials figured out by June of 2025 so that schools by that October have to have it included. But looks like fall of 2025, everybody is going to have to include that in their coursework in Washington State schools.
It's really sad that there are places that don't require LGBT history be taught.
What do you mean? This is like most places.
Yeah, I know. Okay. And that's sad. Oh, yeah. That makes me sad. That sucks.
Senator Marco Elias, who's a Democrat from Edmonds, was one of the sponsors, said, quote, the contributions of gay Washingtonians deserve recognition. And just as importantly, students deserve to see themselves in their schoolwork. That leads to better attendance, better academic achievement, and better overall quality of life, ensuring success for all our students. And I agree.
Yeah, me too. Well said.
I wonder if it back in the 80s, if little gay Mike Johnson had gotten to hear about gay Washingtonians, if like he would have not waited to come out until 30.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. If you hear that it's like a thing, and if you hear about like the maybe you could hear about some of the mental health benefits of coming out, or
yeah.
I don't know, if you'd learned maybe some of those things and me too, then. Maybe that would change the course of your life.
Well, and of course, it also means the gay agenda is winning, right? Like our secret mission to trans all of the kids is working.
Right.
It's going to...
Because the second you learn about LGBT history, you just want to be gay so bad.
Right. Yeah.
That you just become trans all of a sudden.
Yeah. Although I do love all of the memes about like what conservatives think makes me gay. And it's just a teacher saying the word gay. And then what actually made me gay. It's like, you know, Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's the news.
Speaking of people that are as good as Chris Hemsworth, I want to thank the following Patreon members.
Take your shirts off, everybody.
Thank you to C. Dwayne Parrish. I hope.
How's that spelled?
C period.
Uh-huh.
Dwayne, D-U-A-N-E,
uh-huh.
P-A-R-R-I-S-H.
Okay, sure.
What?
Well, there's Parrish, like a church, and then there's Parrish, like to die. And I was like, see Dwayne die? That's not great.
Oh, no. Parrish.
Okay.
Bo Dean?
That sounds like a porn star.
Hot. Holly Minnick?
Holly?
Or
Holly?
Holly.
Holla.
John Beatty? Hey, John. Yeah. Mike is beating his eyes at me.
Mm-hmm.
And Brendan Perry.
Great.
I think I might have, with that, with Brendan, I think I might have gotten those names right.
All of them?
We'll see. Let me know. If you want me to say your name, but you want bonus episodes, nope, bonus content a day early, no.
Ad-free.
If you want ad-free episodes a day early, and if you want bonus content, bonus episodes, a lot of other benefits, go to patreon.com/gayishpodcast.
Do it. All right, you want to talk about makeup?
Let's talk about makeup.
All right. So, yeah, we've a little bit talked about makeup before. I went back and listened to the lip gloss episode.
Oh, you did?
Because Felix told me to. He's like, you talked about some stuff in there that maybe is worth knowing what you talked about. And I was like, that's really smart.
You did? Can you tell me what we talked about?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm going to ask you a question about what we talked about to see if you remember.
Oh, no.
But yeah, we did a little bit, but we didn't really go into like other kinds of makeup. But in that episode, we talked a lot about like our feelings about how gendered it all is, and that you, have flirted with using cosmetics in your life. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with that, but yeah, we're going to talk about makeup today, which is totally my fault.
Wanted to.
It's been on the list for a long time, but I also wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's something that when you promote makeup for men, I've seen it before, but it's always like an army dude riding in an army car. If you want to toughen up, then where it's like it has to go over the top, manly men. Testosterone kind of thing to try to tell them it's okay to wear makeup.
Yep.
There's a lot of delicate masculine egos that you gotta like pay attention to in order to promote makeup to men.
Yep, absolutely. And one of the things we talked about in the lip gloss episode that's absolutely true, and I'm sure we'll get into it with Felix here in a second, it has to be practical. Mm-hmm. It's like if it has sunblock in it or is meant to like fix your chapped lips because you're a rugged mountain man or whatever, like that's okay. Yeah. It's when you start putting in the additional thing of like, and it'll make you look good
and you'll look cute,
that's when it's gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Felix is the founder of Adonis Arcana, a men's cosmetics company and line, and he's gonna talk to us about his business and what's going on, and he's going to call us ugly, and then he's going to fix us.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what they do.
I'm going to talk to you about the history of makeup.
Okay.
I mean, not really, just some of it. First, one of the earliest cultures to use cosmetics was ancient Egypt. Both Egyptian men and women used makeup, and that's the first, like, we have evidence of makeup being used, like, artifacts and that kind of thing as far back as 7,000 years ago. But we have pictures of Egyptians on the walls with especially like eyeliner and eyeshadow. Like when you picture an Egyptian hieroglyph of like the people doing the walk like an Egyptian dance, mm-hmm. and their weird eyes facing the wrong direction from their head, but they're always made up, right? Like there's definitely like makeup that's been applied in that. And they crushed up flowers to make blush, and they used black antimony based paint as an eyeliner, which eyeliner always hurts. I can only imagine if it was like less made for hair comfort.
Yeah.
like jab this stick into my eye.
Yeah put some like juice on the end of a twig and draw it on you.
Cosmetics are in the Old Testament of the Bible. There's 2 Kings 9:30, where the biblical figure Jezebel painted her eyelids. And that was approximately 840 BC. And I think it's funny because Jezebel is also slang for like a slore, right?
Yep.
And so the fact that like that name is connected to using makeup ostensibly to reel in the dudes, like, I love it. Yeah. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Makeup is for sluts, Kyle. In the very best way.
Then why aren't we both made up head to toe, Mike?
Well, we're going
to
get it fixed.
Yeah.
Cosmetics are also in the book of Esther in the Bible. And then to fast forward a little bit, back in the lip gloss episode, I told you the story of the dude who is credited with popularizing the word makeup. Do you remember? Do you remember his name?
Absolutely not.
No. Do you remember
John Makeup?
Do you remember? It's close, sort of.
John McCuppy.
The founder of Max Factor?
No.
You don't remember any of this?
Nope.
Okay, because you told me I did that thing where I told three different stories and had you pick which one was real.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the company Max Factor, where did it get its name? And I told you this thing about a marketing study and this thing about like a building that was the MX Factory and the Y fell off. And then one about the dude. And you were like, you just said, there's no way that that one's correct. There's no way that that's right. And then you talked yourself into one of the other answers. And that was the one that was right. His name was Maximilian Faktorowicz.
What a dumb name. I stand by that.
But he is credited with the word makeup being used as a noun. Like, he actually was a pioneer in the motion picture industry and had a very gay-ish life. Anyway.
But was not gay.
Okay. He had a wife and kids. But we talked about him because it was like, if you want to be into makeup and you want to be a straight dude, go for it.
Yeah.
Like, it's in this category of unnecessarily gendered things. And that's what we're all about down.
And it's interesting when you talked about the Egyptians who used it, both men and women using it. Like, it is also... Everyone assumes that gendered things are like, that's just how it is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. That's just, it's natural that women would wear makeup and men wouldn't. But it's like, if you look at different societies and cultures, men wore makeup and that was the normal thing. Like, there's no normal when it comes to these gendered things.
Yep. Yep. I you're making me remember too, that like Braveheart wore makeup.
Oh,
like, and,
oh yeah.
But, we call it war paint. Because that's less feminine or more butch and masculine. It's fucking makeup.
Right.
You had blue ass makeup all over your face.
I think war paint is also the name of a makeup brand.
Oh, for men. Or for men.
Yeah.
A competitor to Adonis Arcana.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Like, men have used makeup. French aristocrats had like pale faces because they were all caked up and... Not in the butt sense, but in the makeup sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. War paint, tribal makeup, like dudes do this all the time.
Yeah.
Historically. It's just since like the 1940s and 50s that we really, really, really got all uppity about. Hmm. That's not true. The Victorians had some. It's always the Victorians, Kyle.
Yeah, it is.
But in the 70s, there is this phenomenon of male musicians using makeup on stage that is credited with kicking off a counterculture of dudes wearing makeup, especially like gothy, like eyeliner, eyeshadow,
guyliner,
that type of thing. But yeah, David Bowie, Alice Cooper, the band Kiss, these are all examples of like all of a sudden in the 70s, you saw like mainstream artists, rock musicians using makeup as part of their getup. And so that kicked off a whole nother sort of reevaluation of the use of makeup for men, male presenting people.
It's interesting how rock musicians are allowed to like bend gender norms, like makeup and clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like still seen as macho and masculine,
mm-hmm.
But that doesn't trickle down to like trickle down economics doesn't work for makeup or gender stuff either.
Right. Yeah.
which is weird.
Yeah.
You would think that example would then flow down to the everyday person would feel more comfortable wearing makeup as well.
Yeah. Well, and of course, rock is always like doing the shocking, salacious thing, right? Like, and I'm not saying that wearing makeup is the same as like biting the head off of a bat, but that's like, that's part of what rock musicians do is like the crazy hang from the rafters, you know, bang a sex worker with a fish.
What?
You remember that story?
No.
There was, I think it was Led Zeppelin, was staying at the Edgewater Hotel here in Seattle in the 60s or 70s. And the story, they like totally destroyed one of the rooms, but they were fishing because the Edgewater Hotel is on the water. You can fish out the window of your hotel room. And they did, and they caught a fish and they put it in this woman's vagina area.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. All right. It also might be totally apocryphal. I don't know. I'll find out.
Okay.
You're going to tell me about some data.
I just have two datums that I want to tell you about.
Gatums.
There was Ipsos Research published, the article that I read was published in 2022. And Mike, this percent of heterosexual men aged 18 to 65 in the U.S. currently use makeup, male cosmetics and makeup.
Cosmetics is like, I was going to talk about this and then didn't. That's a weird term because the FDA would say that shampoo is a cosmetic.
Oh, really?
Because you put it on your body to improve the experience or whatever.
Okay, yeah, no, this is more like...
Makeup. Yeah. 20%.
Ooh, close. 15%.
Okay.
Yeah. An additional 17% would consider using them in the future. So there's... I think that may be more than some people expect.
Yeah.
That there's a market for this, and which Felix can tell us a little bit more about. There's a market for this, and there's a decent number of people that already do this. This isn't like a rare thing that, you know.
I wonder if they're counting hair dye, because for whatever reason, it seems like it's okay. Even straight dudes, once they're in their 40s, dyeing your hair is okay. Just for men. It has men in the title, Kyle.
Yeah. Like, that makes just it for okay. men. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I wonder what counts in that. They did talk about there was a huge divide in like people's age, like at like when it's older men, age 50 plus, there's like far less acceptance of using makeup and far more like you had to be really discreet. The point was like you had to hide it and make sure it didn't look like you were actually using makeup, and they didn't want to go into makeup stores and what have you.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
I couldn't find any numbers on it, but it said it's more accepted in the LGBT community. And I always want to say, like, is that true? Or did you just assume that? Like, no one actually had any data on that. Yeah. So I couldn't find any data on how many, like, LGBT people wear makeup.
But it also seems plausible, right? Like, it makes sense because we already get to break the norms. So why not break this one?
It makes sense. I also just wonder, like, to what... Is that actually true, and to what degree?
Yeah.
Because I still have hang-ups about makeup, and I'm a gay dude that has worn makeup.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, if you're on TV or in theater, you also get to wear makeup.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, like...
That's just assumed.
Yeah.
But,
anyway.
Yeah.
Makeup might be why JFK got elected.
Go on.
So, Nixon... The Nixon-Kennedy debates were like early days of television, and it was the first like highly televised debate series between presidential candidates. And Nixon sort of famously refused to wear makeup or refused to wear enough makeup. And it sort of melted under the hot lights, the little makeup that he allowed to be applied to his face, because he was a dickbag fuckface asshole, Kyle. And so he's just like sweaty and gross on camera. And meanwhile, Kennedy is like perfect camera ready, like makeup. And people who listened to the radio said that Nixon won. People who watched it on TV said Kennedy won.
Interesting.
And makeup is at least part of the equation for why.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I think I did know that and just forgot it.
Yeah. I'm sure I've told that story before because I'm fond of it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay, you want to take a break?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Felix Palafox from Adonis Arcana here to talk to us about makeup and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And yeah. Should we take a break?
Let's take a break. Break.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
So are we back?
We're back.
We're back.
I almost want to say we're doing our gayest and straightest.
We're doing our gayest and straightest, but first.
But very first.
We're here with Felix Palafox. Hi.
Hey, everyone.
How's it going?
Going good. Good. First time in Seattle.
Yeah.
Amazing. Loving it so far.
Good.
It's not raining.
No, but it might.
Yeah.
We'll see. Just
there's always
longer.
A potential. Yeah.
It's all good.
Felix, you're the founder of Adonis Arcana.
Yes.
Men's cosmetic line.
Absolutely.
Is that the right thing?
Yes.
Because it's not just makeup, right?
Right. It's cosmetics. I mean, I feel like you guys talked about it earlier, but cosmetics is a little bit of a broader term for, you know, self-care items. Mm-hmm. and we do both skincare and makeup, a little bit of everything in between.
Okay.
So tell us how you got started. Why did you decide to create makeup and cosmetics?
So, it actually started from, when I was, you know, unemployed for a little while, and then, you know, I hated working retail and just had a big like career shift. But then I realized that I wasn't qualified to do much else. So eventually I ended up getting back into retail, but this time in the beauty segment at one of the larger retailers here in the US. And after literally being there for a couple of weeks, I really loved the whole industry, you know, seeing like the magic that makeup can do and how people would come in like pissed off moods. And then just a couple of like little lotions and potions and brushes, and they'd leave super happy, having the best time of their lives. Like, oh, wait, this is like really cool. So developed like the love for it, developed all the knowledge for it. And originally the plan for me was that I was just going to be like a men's makeup expert because, you know, I see everybody doing beautiful drag makeup, beautiful female makeup, bridal, you know, Hollywood special effects. And that wasn't really my thing. I was always more about like the supernatural, very clean skin, just make you feel really good today makeup. But no one was really talking to guys, so I figured that was just going to be me. I would just be the male makeup artist. And as it turned out, Fenty Beauty comes out with her, you know, amazing 40 Shades of Representation. That's Rihanna's line.
Oh, okay.
we're clearly the best people
dialed
to have this conversation with.
Yeah.
So Riri, the beautiful Rihanna comes up with her foundation line, and she makes incredible waves with putting out 40 shades of foundation to really represent deeper skin tones a little bit better. And because traditionally, up until her, it was very rare for someone of deeper skin tone to be able to get a good color match. You know, foundations, concealers, and all of that. You'd have maybe two dark options. And 16 lighter options, maybe 5 mediums. So that was a big, big shift that she did.
I mean, I remember growing up as a kid, at least in the 80s, and there would be at the drugstore, there would be this like entire aisle of makeup, but there would be like one tiny little 1 foot section that would say something gross like ethnic or something on it.
Yeah. Right.
To be like for non-white people. And
right.
I'm glad it's not that anymore, but it's still a long ways to go.
It's still a long ways to go, but you know, thanks to like that Rihanna launch, it got a lot better. But then, you know, seeing how different people of different skin tones were now coming into the store, and really the empowerment and the joy and like the magic that they were feeling, that really inspired me, saying like, you know what, like I can do this for the guys, because I was seeing the same thing, seeing, you know, men coming in from like, hey, let me cover up this hickey so my girlfriend doesn't notice. Which, you know, the ethics of covering that up are debatable, but
that's not on you. That's not on you at
all. That's
exactly. Not on me.
Yeah.
To, you know, hey, I had a photo shoot and my skin looked really good. Like, help me out. And then Instagram, YouTube comes about and it's like, what's contouring? Okay. Like, I want to try that. And starting seeing more men coming in, but still no brands talking to them. I felt like, you know, I got the expertise, I got the passion for this. Let's just go ahead and do it. And Adonis Arcana was born a few years later, and here we are.
Why the name?
Oh, so Adonis is the Greek god of male beauty and sexuality. As you know, you look like an Adonis, basically, is that awesome, super handsome, sexy image.
I mean, your cum gutters, that's your Adonis belt.
Basically, right? Yeah. The Adonis belt, that like super sexy V, yeah.
Oh.
And Arcana actually comes from the tarot card deck, divided into major and minor arcana. It's a Latin translation for secrets. So we are unveiling the secrets of Adonis. And of course, partnered with our slogan, handsome has more than one face, we kind of help to break apart that myth that there's only one way to be hot or one way to be handsome. Seeing that everybody has an Adonis inside of them and really helping you find that and discover it, that's what we're about.
Okay, so we got to talk about this swag bag thing. So it sounds a little bit like the Super Bowl, how you're not supposed to say Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but
that's exactly it.
Yeah. Okay. But your products were included in a giveaway bag.
Yes. So it's called the Everyone Wins Nominee Bag. That was independently given to Oscar nominees in the top 5 categories. So best actor, best actress, best supporting actor, best supporting actress. and Best Director, as well as Jimmy Kimmel as a host, mm-hmm. all received and are now currently enjoying the entire Adonis Arcana range.
So when you're like, okay, these really important people, these super ass famous people are going to get my shit. Like, what do you even put in there? Like, did you tailor it to each person or?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I was like, yeah, it took me about a month just to kind of get it all together. Cause I specifically went through thousands of photos of them to make sure I got the right color.
Wow.
And then a letter to every single one of them specifically. I watched all the movies and like really was like, I need to know exactly what they did to get nominated and actually help support them. And so, you know, let them know like, hey, I'm a fan,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
not just, you know, some rando throwing you some stuff for you to maybe publish about. Like, no, we're all about connections and being genuine. So I'm going to genuinely give you a good note. So it took a while.
Yeah. How many people in total?
Like 26.
Okay.
26 nominees.
And regardless of gender, it wasn't just the dudes, right?
No, it was everybody.
Okay.
It was everybody.
So somebody who like specializes in men's cosmetics, like, do you know what you were doing for the ladies? I assume so, but.
Yes. Yeah, so that actually comes up a lot because us being a men's cosmetics brand, people think like, oh, it's just for men, but 20% of my users are female.
Hmm.
Only because what we really talk about is that the differences between a men's cosmetic line, quote unquote, and a traditional cosmetics line isn't necessarily like your chromosomes. It's more about your goals. So, you know, women will have a slightly different goal as to what they want to look like. So things like the finish of the foundations, things like how it shines, how it applies, how much it covers, how many steps you do.
Hmm.
Women tend to have a certain level of experience that gives them access to more steps or maybe more personalized things. Whereas when you're talking about a men's look, you're usually talking at slightly different experience levels, but also different goals, different shapes. You know, you're not necessarily going to have eyelashes to the gods, but you will probably have a beard.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take a couple of those things like that into consideration and just making it as easy as possible for someone that's not really used to talking about it.
What are some of the things that like when we think about the stereotypes of men, what are the things that men usually say that their goals are coming into it?
They just want to look like themselves, but better.
Okay.
Like literally that's all it is really. The way that I kind of frame it is
like Facetune in real life.
Like Facetune in real life. It's that Paris filter on Instagram or like, you know, just a little enhancement. Whereas a lot of people tend to say like cover up the bad stuff, cover up the blemishes, cover up imperfections. I like to look at it as looking past the distractions so that you can really see that ideal self in the mirror looking back at you in real life outside of your phone. It's a powerful thing. Like when you actually can say and look in the mirror and say like, I look good today. Like that feeling. That's magic.
Some people, one of the assumptions is that makeup is just about vanity.
Yeah. Yeah.
what do you say back to that?
I say vanity is not bad. I said vanity is basically the dirty word for self-love and self-respect. You know, it's if you show yourself self-love and you actually take care of yourself, you are more likely to expand that to other people. You know, they call it a capital sin. Sometimes because, you know, loving yourself is an act of rebellion that doesn't necessarily get encouraged. And to be honest, I feel like if more men were to show themselves more self-love, a lot of the issues that we're seeing would probably be, you know, addressed a little bit sooner.
More orgasms, everybody.
No, more orgasms. More come.
That's what the Robin song is about. Show me love.
Is this about orgasms?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. And makeup.
And makeup.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Great. Okay, so when dudes come in and they like are talking to you for the first time and they do the like I want like Facetune me or whatever, what's the like entry level thing that you take them through? Because I'm assuming they don't leave with like too many things at the same time their first time out of the gate.
Right. And that's really kind of why our product selection right now is what it is. It's like really, really basic because most people that come in looking for makeup are already seeing a distraction that they want to camouflage. And just from experience in doing this enough, dark circles are a big one. Mm-hmm. You know, just looking like you sleep. Mm-hmm. None of us ever sleep the schedule that we're supposed to. So we're all a little tired, a little dark. So that tends to be one of them. And honestly, one of the biggest pains that people see is going to the barber. You can't go to the barber every week. So finding a way to keep, like, especially if you sport a beard, keep it sharp, keep it clean looking without having to mess it up potentially with, like, you know, bad pulse and all of a sudden your lineup is rude and it's just awkward. Like, those are the two biggest pains. And that's really what we try to address with our makeup.
I'm surprised that I didn't know beard would be a concern of makeup. Like, that's, I wouldn't have put those two together.
Not many do.
Oh.
Not many do. It's part of the men's makeup revolution is actually thinking about men's specific makeup concerns.
I mean, I guess you've got to, like, not get it in your beard, or you do want to.
But some of it you do, some of it you don't. Again, it depends on your goals.
Yeah.
And if you want a fuller looking beard, there's ways to get that with makeup. If you just want a clean lineup, there's ways of getting that with makeup. If you want to cover it up,
yeah,
there's ways of getting that with makeup.
Wow. Okay.
Makeup is magic, yo.
Yeah. Well, I did see glitter beards.
Glitter beards?
Is that?
It's a thing?
Yeah. Right?
Oh.
Like the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. You're wearing their shirt. They, like, a lot of them have glitter beards.
Yeah. I didn't know. Is that like a specific makeup thing, or is that just glitter you, like, can rub into your beard?
No, you can't just, like, a salt shaker take glitter and make your beard happy. I think you've got to, like,
you got to stick it on with something. But I mean, ultimately, glitter is makeup.
Huh.
Oh yeah,
glitter is makeup. Is it?
Yeah,
it's a type of makeup. Yeah. Yeah,
I guess so.
All right, how do you make this stuff? You're like a mad scientist. You've got, like,
yeah, trade secret.
Oh, okay.
No, it's that. I think that was part of the things that I really loved about creating the company is that life forced me to learn cosmetic chemistry and actually, like, go through certifications and schooling and actually teaching and practicing all of this so that I could actually make all this stuff. So even though it's a little bit more work, I actually found that I loved the chemistry aspect as much as the actual, like, application of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in heaven.
Yeah. But does your workspace, like look like a meth lab? Like, what, like, you've got, like, what
it kind of does, like? Though. No, it kind of does. Because some of the ingredients actually, like, is this cocaine? Is this hyaluronic acid? I don't know. We're just going to trust that, you know, my supplier's right. And that they get evaluated recently.
Are there things that are in makeup that people should watch out for? I imagine there could be bad things in makeup.
Well, historically, there have been. I mean, I don't know if you are... I mean, you talked a little bit about, like, French aristocrats and, you know, the whole pale face. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, like, lead used to be one of the main whitening powders that they used to, like, lighten up the face.
Mm-hmm.
There's thankfully none of that anymore. People used to use things like cinnabar. I don't know if you guys know cinnabar. Mm-hmm. It's a mineral that's really beautiful and red and, like, almost neon looking. But it's actually made of mercury sulfide. So that wasn't fun. But none of that is in there anymore. And there are even cleaner standards nowadays that people are starting to follow and demand from their cosmetics as far as, you know, toxicity levels, making sure that things are, you know, actually studied for potential carcinogens and all of that. So we're getting even better and better and better with, like, the cleanliness of makeup. But I will say, just from the get-go, it's the FDA requires that all makeup is safe for use,
mm-hmm.
period. So while they won't necessarily test it ahead of time, there are lists of things that are not allowed in makeup that you just can't incorporate, period.
Mm-hmm. But I imagine that's about, like, safety for the person using it as opposed to, like, how it's sourced, right? Like, there's...
Yes, the legal requirements are for the safety of the person using it. But even beyond that, there are certain standards that brands like Adonis Arcana and others will have as far as the sourcing too. Because unfortunately, child labor is still a thing, mm-hmm. in certain parts of the world. So we got to make sure that we're not actually encouraging that.
Mm.
So looking back into that, but then that unfortunately does fall into the individual, like, brand, mm-hmm. to do.
I mean, otherwise those kids are just freeloaders, right? Like, we gotta give them jobs. No, I'm kidding.
Oh no!
Straight to hell, Kyle.
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about the genderedness of makeup, and I'm curious. I want to tie it to like your background, your history. So, like, you moved to the States when you were a teenager?
I was basically 20 when I moved here, so just at the end of my teen years.
Yeah. Okay. It's interesting to me because I think of, like, because you were born and raised in Mexico before you moved here. I think of Mexican culture as being so, like, hyper masculine in a lot right. of ways. So I'm wondering, how does that inform your business and what you do?
Well, so a lot of it is that I can see masculinity from two different cultural lenses. So having been basically 20 years there, 20 years here, I see both similarities and commonalities between machismo mm-hmm. and toxic masculinity standards here in the U.S. and in Mexico. And I can see certain things that are similar, but I can also see certain things that are a little bit maybe more nuanced. From different angles, just depending on where you're from. The interesting piece, though, is that I see men in makeup every day from both cultures all the time that are, you know, like the rock stars of the 70s that y'all mentioned, seen every day, idolized, looked at, and it's like, oh my God, these are all heartthrobs, but they're all wearing makeup, and no one talks about it. Mm-hmm. So that's really kind of like an interesting link between both cultures that I am kind of starting to get through. And thankfully the inclusion in the nominee bag was that it, because it's actors. It's the people on TV. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. it's even, you know, your football players and your, you know, boxers, they're all wearing makeup in interviews mm-hmm. and they're all wearing makeup when they're going on the news. They're all wearing makeup every time there's a camera on.
So is it like rich people? Is that who we're describing? If you're rich enough or like are on TV, then
mostly celebrity. Yeah, mostly celebrity. Hmm. So if you're on TV, regardless of, you know, your background, if you're on TV, you're wearing makeup just because of the sheer like physics of TV lighting. Hmm. Bare skin reflects a little too much in certain places. All texture, especially in 4K, gets enhanced a lot. So when you see someone on TV, especially now, without makeup, you can notice it. Mm. Like you can immediately see it, and it's not necessarily a good thing. Mm. But because it's so standardized, everybody thinks like, oh, they just look like that. Mm. But it's like, no. Pause the TV and like really look and think, does anybody's skin actually look that perfect? Mm. It never does.
Yeah. Maybe like babies.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But not all of them.
But not all babies.
Not all babies.
Hashtag not all babies. Yep. Kyle, what have you done in the past for makeup? You've talked about it a little bit before.
Yeah, the things I've done are the goop you put under your eyes. I don't know what that's called.
Tinted or not?
Yes.
Okay, so generally concealer, yeah.
Concealer, okay. It's not called goop formally. That's not the formal name of it.
Under eye goop.
Under eye goop. I've done a like tinted kind of lip balm thing. I've done mascara and I've done eyeshadow. Not recently though.
Yeah, it's been a minute. And your nails painted too has been a thing that I haven't seen in a minute.
Yeah. I think especially like for the brief time period that I had a job, I did not feel like I could wear a dress. It like definitely brought out the mask in me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't feel like I could violate any gender norms like that and still be accepted there.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. And kind of sad.
Yeah.
So are you going to go back? Are you going to bust out your I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for. Your makeup toolbox?
My makeup bag? I have not been feeling it recently, so probably not. I kind of have to be in a better mood. So maybe when I'm in a better emotional state, I'll be willing to like bust out the more femme things.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, and I totally get that because I can even tell you when I started wearing makeup, it was, I go to the store, I put makeup on for my shift. And then I would take it off before getting on the train to go home. Because it is breaking a stereotype, is it is breaking a social norm, and that can be really scary for some people. I mean, it was for me, and it is for almost every other guy that I meet, you know. Mm. They're not necessarily going to wear it to dinner with their girlfriends. They're not necessarily going to do all of that until they feel comfortable enough in that they look good,
yeah,
that they are confident enough to, you know, actually wear it and use it and not mess up.
Yeah.
But I think the best way to get about that is just practice. Hmm. You know, I tell people, whenever you're home alone on a Friday, Saturday night, try it out. It's not a tattoo. It comes off. Mm, mm-hmm, mm. If you mess it up, don't worry about it. Mm. And then the more that you do, the more confident you become in like your own skill. And then that becomes easier over time.
Mm. Mike, have you ever put on makeup?
Well, I was in theater. I was a theater kid. So I definitely did like the most horrific makeup you've ever seen for that purpose. I think that's pretty much it, though, if you don't count like Halloween makeup, right?
Right.
Like doing a costume or... done drag a couple of times now, but no, not really.
Hmm. Why not?
Just never really considered it. First, okay, so first there's this thing about like wanting to age gracefully.
Mm.
And that doesn't necessarily mean not doing things to look better, but I'm not gonna dye my hair. My hair is like going gray and white really rapidly, and I'm not gonna fight that. I'm just gonna go for it. I don't know. I just feel like it's a lot of work to try to stop it or fix it or something. I don't know. I don't think that's like toxic masculinity. Maybe it is, but it's like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. Live my life and not try to fix it or something.
Yeah.
No, I'd say that's not toxic at all. I'd say that's pretty cool. That's really, I think the beauty of beauty.
Mm.
You know, you get to choose what that looks like for you and make that choice for yourself, by yourself, not for anybody else's approval. And, you know, if you're good with your hair, you're good with your hair.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the reasons that makeup has had such a bad rap in the past is because of what I call like the tear down to sell technique that women were exposed to, mostly women, from the old school ways of selling makeup, of saying like, hey, you know, you're such a pretty girl, but you know, if you just covered up that acne, you'd be so much prettier.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that technique was horrible and very popular.
You got to neg them to sell makeup.
Right. Right. And then they would get you hooked, and then you're dependent on them, and then you're buying through them all the time, and then you're sustaining their business. And that's just so like rude and unethical and unnecessary. Whereas now what we're really seeing is that we're really defining for ourselves what looking good is and really encouraging that. And that's what you're doing there, choosing like, I'm going to choose to care about these things and I'm going to choose not to care about these things because I really don't. That's actually what the whole point is.
Mm.
That's exactly what the point is.
Mm. If you learned some basics, could you see yourself ever using makeup?
I'm not sure.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Hmm.
I thought about like even more intense things like Botox. Like I have friends that are into Botox, and I think that's fine, but I don't see myself ever doing that. But makeup, it seems like, I don't know, kind of an easier thing. Like I've noticed, I'm in my mid-40s now. 45 is not a spring chicken. Like my skin is definitely changing and I can tell. And so I at the very least need to take better care of it, if not also maybe face-tune it every once in a while, you know?
You know, having the control, that's really what it's about. And it sounds horrible, but like having the control is really the point.
Mm.
You know, if you want it to look a little bit more towards this way one day, you can. Mm. And if you don't, that's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As long as you have the tools, you can build a house or you can build a boat. Mm. Whatever you want to do with that hammer is up to you.
Mm.
Do you hear any objections? Like, what objections do you hear from people around using makeup?
Oh, well, I mean, there's the whole, like, vanity's a sin issue, which, you know, go back a couple minutes in the episode, you'll get that. There's a lot of homophobic reactions to it because they really do think that makeup is exclusively for gay men.
Hmm.
When it's, like, if you really look at the evidence, it's historically been straight men that wore makeup in the past. All these aristocrats, King Louis of France, like they were all historically straight, and they were wearing more makeup than some drag queens these days. Like between the heels and the skirts and the rouge, they were they were covered up. So people think like, oh, that's gay, not for me, or that's vain, not for me. But then the more like, I'll call like realistic objections, I would say, is that maybe it's too hard. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult. It's going to take too much time, or, you know, I just don't have the bandwidth for it. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, if you look through social media, you can understand why people would think that it's hard and that it takes forever, because the stuff that we see isn't made to teach you how to do makeup. It's made for you to stop your scroll, give them a like, and give them a comment, which has its own validity. But when that's all that we're seeing, it just translates to makeup's really hard. And ironically, whether you're male, you're female, you're non-binary, those objections are exactly the same. Hmm. It's too hard. It takes too much time. I don't have the bandwidth.
Yeah, makeup TikTok is like a whole other beast.
Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous. Like these artists are doing incredible things, but some of this, even I look at it and go like, whoa.
Yeah.
Try to do that in 30 minutes. Jesus. No.
Well, and so TikTok is for the young. Let's be real. I'm wondering if you see, if you see a generational component to who is seeking you out and buying your stuff. Like, is it older guys trying to not look old, or is it younger kids who like are over it and want to express themselves, or you know, both?
I'd say honestly, it's a pretty even mix. I'd say it's a pretty even mix. Like I've had men in their like late 40s, early 50s. Even I think there was a couple of weeks ago a 60-year-old man that really enjoyed the under eye shadow corrector, which was great. Most people I think are in their 30s, to be honest, because anyone younger than that is probably already trying something. So the guys that come to me for that in starter experience tend to be like in their 30s, just young enough to start to defy and being able to be secure in their own masculinity, or, you know, in their own non-binariness sometimes too, to be able to experiment.
What advice do you have for people that are new to this and want to experiment but are kind of scared to?
Just give it a shot. You know, don't be deterred by like the scary makeup store, or don't be deterred by like all the crazy stuff that you're seeing online. You know, just take it one step at a time. If you do go to like a makeup counter, a makeup store, or even like a branded website like Adonis Arcana, look for like one or two things. There's always a customer service segment in there that is made to help you, whether it's an associate, whether it's a chatbot, whether it's like an email contact. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, the whole purpose and the whole reason for the existence of this is to help you. So, you know, take it slow and ask for the help that you need. That's usually the best way to go.
Most of your stuff, it looks to me like your branding is very like everyday sensible type stuff, but do you also have stuff for like circuit queens?
Not personally. I do more like the day-to-day, like let's just look good, feel good every day type of deal. There are definitely other brands that will do, you know, more hardcore, more colorful stuff, more like bright shades and all of that. It really just kind of comes down to like your personality, what you want.
What about drag queens? Do you see them and think like, I could do that? Or is it too extensive to be able to replicate? Like, what do you see in drag today?
Hats off to those drag queens, girl. That's those skills are legendary. I've seen some crazy things that are beautiful, and I would take a breath if you asked me to do what they're doing. Cause some of that is really intricate and really, really thoughtful and really thought out and really artistic, which I'm much more about the minimalism and the everyday and the like detail work. That's definitely more on the demure side, but that doesn't mean I can't appreciate like a good work of art. Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You're making me think too about, do you do like grooms and groomsmen? Is that a thing that?
Yeah.
Is that, I would imagine that would be like kind of like, this zone of acceptability, I think, because even straight guys are like, okay, today is a day to like pull out all the stops or whatever.
Right, right. I do get contacted by a lot of grooms and groomsmen. My favorite is when it's a gay couple getting married.
Aww.
Because then I get to do them both.
Yay.
And I get to meet them both and really actually be a serious part of the ceremony and all of that. There recently was a gay couple that wanted to, you know, look their best for their wedding day. And that was really beautiful. And I really got to not just make them feel like really good and make them like enjoy their day without having to worry about anything. But it also made me realize like, hey, it's, remember that makeup is not just for vanity.
Hmm.
You know, it is for special moments. It is for everyday moments, but it's really to bring out joy. And like, that is really the point. It's like bringing out the joy in you to be able to freely enjoy your day.
Speaking of joy, what about dead people?
Oh my God. Transition.
I was thinking about like what big moments in life are there, and wedding is the biggest one. And then I was like, oh, when you die, you often like they put on makeup for you.
I was going to say, I hope that the married couple was still wearing your makeup when they started fucking like rabbits. And then I hope the dead bodies are too, I guess. I don't know. Like you mentioned dead bodies. So my brain was in dudes fucking, and then you bring up dead bodies. And like I'm anyway. Okay. I'll get it together.
Not safe for work.
Not safe for work. Dead people.
Yeah.
Have you done dead people?
I have not. Okay. I have not. So makeup is an incredibly extensive like area. When we think makeup, we tend to usually think of like the beauty makeup, the glam makeup, but there are thousands of different subspecialties. So just like you would have a doctor, you can either have a pediatrician, you can have a gynecologist, you can have, you know, even a dentist or, you know, English. You have doctorates in English. There's a million different subsections. So with makeup, yes, there is funerary makeup. That's a very specialized field for dead people, making sure that, especially when there's a funeral, when there's a viewing, you know, they can actually look presentable and their best and, you know, be a respectful ceremony for that. And that's part of the makeup field as well. Just like bridal makeup, just like, you know, beauty makeup, just like the drag makeup, you know, it's all little subsections based on what I like to see as like the goals. Like, what are the goals that you're going for? Because one of the most interesting things about makeup is that the same techniques that can give Kim Kardashian cheekbones can make Mandy Moore look like a grandmother in This Is Us and can create the Walking Dead zombies. So it's all the same techniques. It's really just like your goal and how you execute it that give you like your specialty.
Kim Kardashian is a zombie. That's what I heard. Oh my goodness.
I'm smiling. It's all the same techniques. That can't be true.
Yeah. Oh my God. Contouring it's just light and shadow play. So like enhancing a shadow, you can enhance a shadow to be like a full cheekbone sculpted look, or you can enhance the shadow of like a specific wrinkle, or you can enhance the shadow of like a scab wound. It's really just the same technique applied a little bit differently. It's kind of crazy.
Interesting.
Okay. In the Patreon segment, you're going to work on us and make us pretty.
Well, we're going to work on ourselves.
Okay.
Oh, I have to do it?
Oh, I'm going to guide you. Yes.
Oh, God. Okay. Sure.
That's scary.
With guidance. I promise you, with good guidance.
Okay.
What are your plans? Like, give us a teaser. What are we going to do? You're going to work on ourselves, but like in what ways? What are we doing?
So we're going to go for a very basic, easy entry-level look with not a lot of stuff, not a lot of product. But I'm going to show you all how the same technique can give two very different results, with one of you being a little bit more natural, more minimalistic looking, and the other one being a little bit maybe more done up, maybe a little bit more glammed up.
That's exciting.
Okay. All right.
And we'll have audio and video just like every week. So if you want the video version of that, seeing us glam ourselves up.
Yeah.
Go to Patreon.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
So should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Okay, let's take a break.
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 Yeah.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
Are we back?
We're back.
We're back.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're not wearing makeup yet.
Not yet.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest, but first.
But first.
Felix, where can people find out what you're up to, how to get a hold of your products, Adonis Arcana, et cetera? Tell us all the things.
Yeah, so AdonisArcana.com it would be the website to check out the products, the listing, all the offerings. Social, we're mostly active on Instagram, @Adonis_Arcana. And if TikTok's still around, @Adonis_Arcana as well.
Oh, TikTok. Oh. Please, like, I understand it's like, okay. I hope it goes away before we have to do one. That's all. our website is gayishpodcast.com.
We are on socials @gayishpodcast.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, is 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rate supply.
Our email is gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
And our physical mailing address is Post Office Box 19882, Seattle, Washington, 98109. Okay, so we've got... next week, the very next episode is our 7th birthday.
Yeah, it's our 7th anniversary.
Yeah, we're old enough to, I don't know, nothing. Being like, what can 7-year-olds do?
Second grade? I don't know.
But one of the things that we're doing is we're having everybody on Facebook vote on which episode topics we should revisit. So you've got just a couple of more days now to vote in that poll. Go to facebook.com/gayishpodcast. Nope, facebook.com/groups/gayishpodcast and vote in that poll before it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it. And if you want to send us birthday gifts.
Yeah.
Do that too.
I should go to the post office box.
Oh yeah.
It's been weeks now.
Oh, just in case no one knows it's our birthday.
Right.
So.
Right.
I don't think. Yeah.
Okay. And the day after our birthday, I'm having a colonoscopy, Kyle.
Woo.
I'm so excited I could poop.
How exciting.
Yeah. Gayest and straightest?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay, great. The straightest thing about me this week is just a boyfriend asking, do you have an electric drill? And me being able to confidently say, yes, yes, I do.
Wow.
Although the bits were in a box that had a whole bunch of tools and some lube and my ball stretcher in it. So that's, you know, whatever.
You keep all this in the same place?
No, it's because I was frantically cleaning shit out of the room.
Oh.
And then gayest thing this week, I was in San Francisco, Palo Alto for work last week. And I ran into a gay couple that I'm friends with in the bathroom at SFO. So I yelled at him from across the bathroom. I didn't even think what I was doing. And I was like, oh, just three gay dudes in a San Francisco airport bathroom.
Don't mind us.
Don't mind us. Like hugs and like, oh, my God, how are you? And I hadn't seen them in a while. One of them was like, oh, my God, your hair.
Because it's gray?
It's gray. Like, yeah, it is. Okay, Kyle, how about you?
So my straightest is I ran out of spaghetti sauce, so I had buttered noodles for dinner.
Yummy.
That felt straight.
That's what you can do when you're 7. All 7-year-olds love buttered noodles.
Yes. I'm about 7 years old. And gayest was trimming my eyebrows.
Oh, they look good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
Yeah. Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Felix, what about you?
Oh boy. So I had to think really hard for this one. But I'd say probably my gayest would be the laundry day.
Okay.
The underwear I had to wear all day laundry day. This, backless brief jock mesh knit thing with a detachable cup.
Wow.
Because you were scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like,
right,
oh,
yeah, right. You're literally the stuff that you never wear unless it's like a really special occasion.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I had left. So that's probably the gayest thing about me, is the choice of underwear. And the straightest would be frantically packing a bag at 1:30 in the morning for a 7 a.m. flight.
Oh, wow.
That feels pretty straight to put off things and just throw shit in the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The gay thing would be like needing a bigger suitcase that you started packing a week ago because like, mama needs options. And you know.
Oh, no. It's literally like just throw in,
yeah.
Throw in.
Yeah.
We're good. I hope I have enough socks.
Well, Felix, thanks so much for being here, for talking to us about makeup.
Thank you for having me. Y'all are incredible.
And for making us pretty in a little bit.
Yeah.
Of course.
And thank you to our super gap bridgers. Thank you to Kaylee Adams, Kit Oliver, Kobe Gordon.
Hello.
Hey. Pip, Andrew Bugby, William Bryant, John Crowley, Stephen Porch, Yost Osel, Harry Shaw, Jonathan Montañez, Wadu, Forrest Nail, Patrick Martin, Steve Douglas, Explosive Zonia, Michael Cubbington, Just Jamie, Thomas B., Dusty Sands, A.E. Coleman, Chris Cacciatorians, and Jerome York. Thank you for your support.
Thank you for your money. That's it. This has been Gayish from the Chris Cacciatorian Studios dining room. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you. See you next week.
Be you face-tuned, but in real life, the not AI version.
Yes, that one.
Makeup.